Hallelujah. Amen. If you're a guest, if you're a friend, we pray that you've been a part of the Agape family. Amen. When we serve one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. How many know God is good?
Amen.
How many know God is good? Amen. How many know that God can make a way where there is no way? Amen. Truly, everything that's been said so much about Georgia, I wait on that. Amen. But indeed, it was a blessing to be there. Amen. To be part of a spiritually anointed conference. Amen. Well, we know we heard a word from the Lord. Amen. For those that did not know, you can see the services. The services are, can you type this I'll put up at the end, www.greaterapostolic.org. All of the services were archived. Amen. So you weren't there in person, you can be a part of it. Amen. So that you can experience what it is when God moves on someone. Amen. Amen. So truly we thank God. I'm going to ask you to stand. Amen. We were blessed and honored to be in Georgia. We thank God that you brought my wife safely down. And I don't know how she was able to speak without coughing, but that's what God does. Amen. He makes up for our weaknesses. We thank God for that. And we just thank God for all that he's done. Amen. What he's doing. Amen. Even though we had some minor challenges with the bus, God bless us to get there and find people to help. Amen. And bless us to get back. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Today I'm going to give you our subject in advance. Can I do that?
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give it to you in advance. We're going to deal with discerning the inadvertent spirit of compromise. Discerning the inadvertent spirit of compromise. With that being said, we'll explain it a little further. Let us go to Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to start off reading verses 16 through 22. Amen. Discerning, to discern means you have to judge. It is not based on what we feel or think. Amen. The Bible says, the word of God is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So when something is discerned, it's not just an ocular opinion, but it means to go down deep. Amen. A lot of times we try to discern, but we discern it based on our opinion. But to really discern the spirit of the inadvertent spirit of compromise. Inadvertent is not something that we do intentionally, willfully, or consciously, but yet it still happens. Amen. Let's start from verse 16. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great. Lord, we bless your name on this afternoon. First of all, Lord, we want to thank you. Lord, we don't take your goodness for granted. Lord, we thank you for a safe trip to Georgia and back. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that we heard. Lord, we thank you that in spite of the challenges, Lord, you bless the bus and the bus driver. And for that, we thank you. Now, Lord, our hearts desire this afternoon, Lord, we want to be what you would have us to be. Lord, we want to do what you want us to do. So we ask you to give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto the church. Lord, indeed, help us to cry from the depths of our heart, Lord, not my will. Lord God, but thy will be done. Now, Lord, we ask you to anoint thy word and speak, Lord, for without you, we can do nothing. And Lord, in anointing and blessing, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit of God will say to the church, and then give us a mind to hide those things in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. And for this, we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. That we're dealing with the subject, you know, that I always say we love to preach. And who like to shout?
Hallelujah.
Amen. When y'all watch that tape, y'all can see somebody from my church is shouting all over the place. They have people running off from up on the altar trying to hold them, running out of the pews trying to hold them. That's what happens when God get a hold of you. Amen. I don't say that to a shame. Amen. The preacher said sometimes you gotta get some clapping in your hand and some running in your feet. Amen. We come to church sometimes, we just, and this is what the preacher was saying on last night. He said, we just got so dignified. We cross our legs, we cross our arms, we just sit there, so stoic. After God has been so good. I said, after God has been so good. So there's nothing wrong with shouting for Jesus. There's nothing wrong with praising the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong with cutting a step for the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm really concerned with, I know we come to church, I know we hear the word. But what happens once we leave out the doors? Amen. You know, that's what I was praying this morning and preparing. I always prepare one of those preaching shouting messages. But like the bishop said, God always changes things around. I said, God changes around. You know what? Because we look at the outward appearance, but individually, God looks at all of our hearts. And he discerns the need. Then he sent a message to the church to meet those needs. Amen. And as I was praying this morning, years ago, I used to do some construction work. And during construction work, we removed a lot of trees. Amen. Now, most people hate weeping willow trees. Why? Because the roots run on top of the ground. The roots don't go down deep. So every time there's a storm, a strong wind, the first tree that always becomes a casualty is a weeping willow. But then there was a time, I think Deacon Joshua remember that, we had to dig up an oak tree. The oak tree is a little different, the roots are different. Because the oak tree roots go down deep. And they spread. They said one oak tree has over 100 miles of roots. One oak tree. So we had to clear up from a willow tree, many willow trees, but it was so easy because all we had to do was cut up the trees and rake the ground because there were no roots down deep. But we had to do this oak tree. By the time we finished the oak tree, the hole was about 30 feet in diameter and about 8 feet down. One oak tree. And then, this is, Lord, I haven't done this, I didn't think of this, this had to be God. I wonder why I walk today, how many of us are grounded and rooted? See, the difference is, the willow tree was grounded, but the willow tree was not rooted. I wonder how many of us this afternoon will be a willow tree saint? How many of us will be an oak tree?
Come on.
You know what happened with the oak tree? No matter how bad the storm is, it might bend, it might lean a little bit, but it is what? Rooted. So it will not fall. Amen. The scripture Ephesians 3:17 said, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. How many of us this afternoon are really grounded and rooted? So in discerning the inadvertent spirit of compromise, that's not something that we do intentionally. Compromise. Amen. And then we're going to read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23 says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled. We're talking about this afternoon as a child of God, we need to be rooted and grounded. We need to be grounded and settled so that every whim, every adversity does not get the advantage. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
What type of church? Say, if we, now this is personal, amen? This is our own discernment. If we, to discern it, you have to judge something. Amen? Not for us. Not for me to discern it. Though God still gives us discernment. But right now, you discern. Are you a oak tree or are you a willow tree? Every time something goes wrong, do you break? Do you run? Do you quit? Are you grounded? Amen. Jesus said like this. He said, if you hear these words and keep a mind and keep them, I will liken you unto a wise man that built his house. He was settled and grounded. He said, and then when the winds blew, hallelujah, when the storms came, when everything was finished, the house was still standing. Why? It was founded upon the rock. But for those that hear my words, he said, then keep them not. Amen. When the winds come, when the storms come, the house will fall. And this is what God says. How many know if Jesus said he ought to know? All right, we're going to have to judge. Say, he ought to know. He said, and the house fell, and it didn't have just a normal fall, but what? Great. What's the fall there? Why? It's a danger in hearing God's word and then not obeying and keeping it. Well, that brings us back to here to chapter 19. Amen. I'm going to ask you also to hold Joshua chapter 9 and Romans chapter 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Because the Bible said, wisdom is the principal thing, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get an understanding. So many well-meaning saints, and they went over so much down at the Light of the World Conference, so many well-meaning saints are being duped by the devil and don't even realize it. But here in the 19th chapter, there's a young man, and he goes to Jesus, and he says unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is? You know, a lot of times we read over and kind of skip over it. You know, he didn't say, my God. He said, there's none what? Good, but who? God. So he said, if you're calling me good, that means you're calling me God. All right, that's no charge for that. Let's keep moving. Amen. He says unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, honor thy father and mother. Verse 20 says, the young man now feeling pretty good because on the outside, he's looking real good. But we're talking about discerning the inadvertent spirit of compromise. When you compromise, that means I know the truth. I know what God says, but in this particular case, I choose to do what I want to do. That's compromise. Amen. So he says, the young man says unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. But he had a spirit of discernment. He realized. The Lord said, you've done this, do this, do the other. But in Jesus' response, he realized, I haven't done it all. He said, what lacketh I yet? What have I not done yet? Amen. Now Jesus is going to paint the clear picture between a conviction and a compromise. Amen. The next verse says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, complete, or to be in my favor or will, I need you to do something. All these years, months, your dependency has been on your what you can do. The God says, the first thing I need you to do is what? Sell. What you built your confidence up on, what you've been leaning on most, is what you can't do. So the Lord said, now, I need you to fully trust me. I need you to fully adhere to my word. I need you to set what you want to do aside. So he says, sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have. What's the challenge? What you've been dependent on. God said, I don't want you to depend on that anymore. I want you to give away what you depended on, and I want you to now start investing in. Now my question this afternoon, are we investing in heaven? Are we willing to sell what we've been dependent on? I'm not telling y'all to sell nothing. This is just a principle, so I'm just scared. I ain't, even though we're trying to buy a church, I ain't trying to get nothing. don't get nervous on me. All right, but what I'm trying to get you to see is a principle.
Amen.
What are you depending on the most is what we're asking this afternoon. What is your dependency on? What are you leaning on? Is it what I have? You know, as long as I got this, I know if it goes wrong, I can run back to it. Are you willing to sell all for Jesus?
Amen.
Paul said, I've counted the loss of how many things?
All things
that I may win.
Christ.
The Lord was saying, I need you to count some losses so that you can win Christ.
Yes.
He said, now, what I want you to do most of all is what? Come and
follow me.
Now, when you are a willow tree, you can't let go of some stuff. Because the willow tree doesn't have deep roots. So the willow tree is not yet grounded and settled in God. So it's hard for me to give up this, even though in the back of my mind I know what God is telling me. I can't give it up because my roots don't run deep. I'm not grounded. I'm not settled, God. Hallelujah. I'm not planted in God's word. So in the midst of discerning and making decisions, it's hard for me. Come on, y'all. Y'all don't look so serious. Y'all scare me in a minute. I'm going to have to preach for a while and then come back to this. Y'all scared. No. Listen, this is all for all of us together. The ultimate thing was that the Lord wanted the young man to do what? Follow me. Now he was doing enough to be seen. But God said, now I want you to do something bigger than being seen. I don't need you to just go through the familiarity of the things of the law that you know are good. He said, but I need you to go one step further. I need you to make an investment in heaven. I need you to make an investment in me, God says. I need you to sell all and follow me. The challenge of the question this afternoon is there anything that we are holding on to? Is there anything that we won't sell to follow Jesus? Go to the next verse. He explains it even further. But when the young man heard that, said he went away because his dependency was not on God. But it was on his, what he has, what he had accomplished, what can he get out of life. That's a shallow saint. Can we say willow tree?
Willow tree.
Amen. When you go home today, me and my wife will do it. I'm going to ask her, are you a willow tree or oak? She would ask me that. What are you, willow tree or oak? Then when y'all go home, if you ain't married, if you got somebody that ain't married, Or not, whatever y'all like to say, whatever is your pleasure. When you go home and you know somebody saved, say, what kind of saint are you? Now, I'm not saying to be nosy, all right? But just as a reminder, if you don't have nobody with kids, say, what kind of child of God are you? Are you a willow are your oak. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's something you have to discern. How deep can your roots run? And I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I know it's probably not the message that we want to hear.
That's all right.
Come on.
That's all right.
But how many of us are really following God right now? And then somebody say, I'm following, but how close? How close are you in following him? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 19. Hold on a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's go to verse... Verse 19. How close are we following God? 19 read, what? Know ye not that your body is the what? And the Holy Ghost is where?
In you.
In you. Your body, if you're saved, is the temple of the
Holy Ghost,
which ye have of God, and ye thank you, Lord. I'm here today because God has been good. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and with all that I have and I possess, I still am not. Next verse reads, for ye have been, for you are what? Brought with me Christ.
Therefore.
Then he says something that might be a little profound or challenging. He said, therefore glorify God just in your body.
And
in your
spirit.
You know what we were selling? What he was telling them, he said, sell all and what?
Follow
me. Why? Because Ezekiel said, all souls are
mine.
God said, you're mine no matter what you choose.
You're
mine. God said, and because you're mine, I'm going to give you what you need to make it to glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. He says, glorify God in your body and in your
spirit.
See, we can't see your spirit, but you know your spirit.
Come on.
So God said, not just the, you know what, where's the spirit at? On the inside, amen? Amen. So he said, glorify God in your body. In other words, what people see and what you feel, think, and do, which is your spirit, which is on the inside. We are to glorify God in our body and in our spirits. Now, the willow tree don't have too much trouble with the body. Amen. Because that's surface. But when it comes to glorifying God in the spirit, that's when we have to go. It's impossible for a willow tree saint to glorify God in the spirit. Hallelujah. Because the roots are not yet deep enough. Hallelujah. The deeds haven't gone down to the point of faith. For God I live and for God I die. Lord, whatever I have to sacrifice to be pleased to you, I give it up. Hallelujah. And in Christ,
hallelujah,
it's the most important thing. So do we have a mind to glorify God in our bodies and spirits? All right, now go to Romans 14. I'm going to go fast. Amen.
All right.
Our challenge is we want to be, how many want to be, we used to sing a song, real, real? Real, real. Jesus is real to me. So many people, but I can't. Hallelujah. Jesus is real to me. I don't doubt him. Hallelujah. I don't question him. Lord, I surrender all. 14 verse 1 reads, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But just because they are what you want them to be, don't have a whole lot of arguing and fighting. Amen. Everybody won't be the same. So I said, don't receive them unto what? Doubtful disputation.
In other words, let them come in. Let them grow on their own. Because you're trying to separate, you might separate a wheat.
That's right.
Because it looked like a tear.
That's right.
So God said, let them both grow together. Amen. The next verse. For one believer that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. These are talking about preferences, not about sin, not about right and wrong, but preferences. Amen. In other words, you wear a big hat, I wear a little hat. You wear white shoes, I wear black shoes. Those are just your preference. Amen. So he said, don't make a big issue out of little things. God is concerned about the big things. Amen. And let not him which eateth judge, not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he, who is our master? So to God you stand or fall, yea, he shall be holding up, for God, hallelujah, is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. But, let every man be what kind of persuaded? Fully persuaded how? In his own mind. Amen?
Skip this. Go to the next verse. Is that 7? Go to the next verse. Skip with me.
For none of us, when I've sold all, when I purpose it, Lord, I'm trying to discern this inadvertent spirit of compromise that won't allow me to sell out completely to God. When you compromise, you won't sell out completely to God. You're going to hold on to some of your ways, just like the rich man, just in case. You will not give up all to follow Jesus. You're going to hold on to some things. For just in case, you know, somebody said, don't be a fool, don't be crazy, don't put all your stock in God. If you don't put your stock in God, who else you gonna put it in? I didn't say in the church, I said in God. We should stand for God. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto who?
The Lord.
And whether we die unto
the Lord.
Therefore, whether we live, therefore, or die,
we are the Lord's.
We are the Lord's. Compromise won't allow you to discern who is your master.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. In our pastor's meeting, Bishop Reese said, you know the greatest rival to God in the church? Money. He said, more relationships, more marriages, more saints in the church have been ruined over money. Listen, the Bible says the money is going to perish with the using. It's more important to have a relationship with God. So now we're going to want discerning the spirit of compromise. Now let's go to Joshua chapter 9. Now I know we all read Joshua. We all read Joshua and we know about Jericho. Amen. We know about Achan and the sin. We know how the walls came down. We know how they crossed over Jordan. But this right here is a particular stage in Joshua's spiritual leadership where he did not discern the mind of God. What prevented him from discerning the mind of God? He had developed a habit. Now he had so many accomplishments that this one time he did not go to God. And we're gonna find out what the end results are. So I'm gonna take a few minutes here. Can y'all take a few minutes?
Amen.
Amen. I'm not gonna be long, but we're trying to discern the inadvertent spirit of compromise. Now wasn't everyone think that Joshua was a godly leader?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all don't leave me. I promise. I ain't gonna be long. Unless y'all, if y'all don't back me up, all right, let's make a deal. All right? Let's make a deal. No, I don't want to make a deal. Let's be real. I just want to break the ice for a little bit. Joshua was a godly man, but we're going to find out one thing caused Joshua to make a big mistake, and it was a spirit of compromise that he could not reverse or change because he neglected to do one thing. Verse 1 reads, "And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord." You know what? When everybody starts fighting you, you're going the right direction.
Amen.
Just still depend on God. "And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they said, if they were mighty and Joshua defeated them without any weapons, we don't have a chance. So now what the devil is going to do is flip the switch." Amen. Say, we can't beat them by trying to fight them. So now we have to deceive them. "If we try to go after them with might or force, they will destroy us. So now let's try to deceive them. Let's try to get Joshua and the children of Israel to make a decision without going through God. Because if they go through God, we're in trouble." Amen. Look what they've done to everybody else. We don't have a chance. So now they are plotting and conniving. And this one time, Joshua did not discern what was happening. Amen?
Amen.
They did work willfully or craftily or deceitfully. And this is how the devil tripped so many well-meaning saints of God, through deceit. Trust, depending on the wrong things. "And went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their donkeys and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes piled upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry." And this wasn't true. They were doing what? They were disguising the truth, because these were the enemies of Israel. But in order for the enemy to get in the camp, they have to deceive you. That is the same trick that the devil used today. He can't get in the house. He can't get in the church. He can't get in your life. He can't influence you unless he deceives you. Amen? "And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, we be from a..." Is that a true or lie? See, that's what the devil starts off first. That's how he gets you. He starts off with a what? A lie. He said, and you're going to find out in a little bit, Joshua will say, this don't sound right. It doesn't sound right, but he did not acknowledge God. He made a decision based on his own intellect or his own spirit. Amen? "We be from a far country. Now therefore make a league with us." You know what I'm saying? Back in those days, your covenant meant everything. When you agreed to something, you could not alter it, you could not change it. They said, now make a league, a covenant with us, because we be from a far country. Were they from a far country? Absolutely not. Amen?
Amen.
"And the men of Israel said unto the Hittites, prevent you..." A red flag went off. Listen, wait a minute. You want us to make a league with you, but what? You might not be from a far country. Amen. He said, "Peradventure, ye dwell among us." What? There was an alarm. There was something going off, but they were not being governed by their godly mind. They did not acknowledge the Lord, so they are now being guided by the spirit of compromise. Wasn't intentional, no, but it was still an inadvertent spirit of compromise. Because God had given Joshua and the children of Israel direct commandments to destroy all. Anything in your vicinity, don't let it live. Wipe it up, get rid of it all. But the devil knows how to trick up the child of God.
Yes.
Amen. He knows what God tells you. He listens, he hears. So he said, now, if I don't try to trick them up, they're going to be a force I got to reckon with. So since I don't want to reckon with them, I got to trick them up. Amen? He said, and how shall we make a league with you? In other words, he said, we have a commandment from God. We can't do this. We can't make a league with you. Amen? The next verse. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? All these questions show that they had what? They weren't sure. They weren't positive. They were suspicious that something wasn't right. How many times have we went to do something and we had questions? We had suspicions that it wasn't right. But instead of being led by God's Spirit, we allowed our minds to rule our hearts to rule our minds. Amen? He said, from a very far country, thy servants have come because of the name of the Lord. I mean, no, the devil will tell you anything.
Yes, he will.
Are they coming from a far country because of the Lord God?
No.
So everything thus far has been a what?
A lie.
Can we say a lie?
Lie.
Y'all help me now. Help me. I told y'all I promise I'm going to be short. So everything they said so far has been a what?
Lie.
Lie. Who's the father of all lies?
Spirit.
The devil's the father of all lies. The Bible said he was a liar and a murderer from the
beginning.
Now spiritual discernment tells me, doesn't sound right. Doesn't look right. This has all of the appearance of a lie. So right now I need to put on the brakes. It's time for me to telephone the glory. Oh, what joy divine. It's time for me to make some contact with headquarters. It's time for me to talk to my Heavenly Father. Lord, it doesn't seem right. I'm not sure which way to go. So now I need you to help me.
Yes, sir.
Because it don't sound right. Doesn't feel right. I'm very suspicious of what the devil will present before me. Amen? For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake unto us, saying, it's true or lie? Amen. We know it's a what? A lie. Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your
servants.
Therefore now make ye a league. All the devil is trying to get them to do is make an agreement. Compromise. Try to get the child of God to make an agreement with a lie. Hallelujah. I don't care how high they are. Lie is a lie. I don't care who it is. I won't lie, but if it's me, I'm lying. It's a lie. Don't believe a lie. Because a lie is not from God. Hallelujah. This our bread we took hot for our provision. Truth or lie? Come on, y'all. Now, everybody knows a lie, right? Truth or lie? All right. I ain't going to fight with you. Out of the houses on the way we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these balls of wine which were filled were new. Truth or lie? We're trying to discern, amen, so that we do not compromise. And behold, they be rent. And these our garments and shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. Truth or lie? Because they weren't from afar, hallelujah. They were right there from the vicinity, amen?
Amen.
And the men took their victuals and what? Stop right there. You know what he said? You know what? We believe what you said. The mistake they made is they didn't stop. Now, obviously they had some questions there. Otherwise, they weren't sure. Otherwise, they wouldn't have asked so many questions. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But the mistake that Joshua and Israel made is that they did not what? Ask counsel. How many times, Lord, thank you, have we purposed what we're going to do based on what something looks like, sounds like, and we say, well, it sounds good enough, I'll just do it, but we don't ask. We don't ask counsel of the Lord. So in making a discerning whether or not being influenced by the Spirit, inadvertent spirit of compromise, it's hard for me to know the right thing to do because I won't talk to Jesus. I won't ask God to order my steps. I won't ask God to direct my way, but I'm listening to what the enemy is feeding me. Amen. And I make a decision, and I know it's not, doesn't sound truthful. I know I have questions. I know down in my heart, down in my soul, hallelujah, I don't feel right. But instead of me listening to God and talking to God, I keep listening to the lies. And then I go into an agreement with the enemy. Amen. Next verse. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear to them. In other words, they didn't ask God anything, right? They said, okay, everything you said sounds, even though we have a lot of questions, but when we look at it, yeah, your clothes are old. Yeah, your shoes are messed up. The wineskin is worn out. And look at all that moldy bread. The devil will use anything to deceive the child of God. That's why you must discern. Amen. You must discern. Many spirits are going out into the world. But we must try to discern the spirit to see if it's of God or I need this job. I've been wanting it for a long time. God, do you want me to take it? Maybe God has that job for you, but not now. Maybe God has that house for you, but not now. Maybe God has that car for you, but not now. You're going to pay $500. God said, wait a little while, and I'm going to give it to you for $200. But the salesman make it sound so good. It's time to just stop and talk to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, Joshua, was Joshua a godly man?
Yes.
You know what, God? This is what God said about Joshua. He said, there will be another man like you other than Moses. He said, as I was with Moses, Joshua, so shall I be with you. He said, if you meditate on my word, keep it in your mouth, keep it on your heart. He said, I'm going to make your way prosperous, and you're going to have. But the dependency had to be on who? But this one time, Joshua made a decision. And then what did Joshua and Israel do? They did what? They left God out. They did not counsel with God. They did not ask God, Lord, it sounds good, sounds all right. What do you think? Amen? Willow trees, just do what you want to do. Oak tree, I'm down deep. Amen. So when I got to draw some resource, I go to the Word of God. I'm going to hurry and finish this. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their
neighbors.
So wait a minute. You lied to us. You tricked us. You tricked me. You told me this and that and the other. If they had only acknowledged God, if they had only gone to God, the devil of the enemy would not have been able to trick them. It's, wait a minute, but you said, how many times have we been in a situation because of what you said and not went to God? It's so important. We want to be an oak tree. And being an oak tree, whatever I do, I go to God. Because I do not want to be tripped, set up by the inadvertent spirit of compromise. Did Joshua and Israel do this intentionally? No. But they were what? Deceived or tricked. So the devil said, well, if I can't stop you, I'll hold you back. Just like he did the children of Israel when he went back to rebuild the wall. He frustrated their purposes. And in the frustration, they had to stop building. We're trying to build a life of God individually. I'm not talking about as an individual. We're trying to build a life of God. But we keep listening to the enemy instead of talking to Jesus. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Chipperah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel spoke them not. Now what was God's commandment? Now we got to get this. God's commandment was they were supposed to do what? Smite them. Amen. Because they were the what?
Enemies.
But why could they not destroy what God had told them to do? Because they compromised. Amen? He said, and the children of Israel spoke them not because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured. Why you got that division? Because you all are making us disobey God because you went and made a decision without first. Hello?
Amen.
We are upset with you because you made a decision and now we're going against God because you did not acknowledge God. Because you did not discern that inadvertent spirit that was trying to get you to compromise. Well, it won't hurt if we do a little. What did God tell them to do? He said, I want you to destroy it all. Now, wouldn't it better to sit there and say, okay, if you're from a far country, take us. Right? How long would it have taken? Well, they sent out 12 to spy out the land, sent two or three to find out where they were from.
Amen.
But the devil has a way, hallelujah, when he's trying to deceive us. He will wrap us up, tie us up and stuff. And then instead of making a godly decision, we'll make our own decision. So now they have what? Division and turmoil within the camp because the people want to destroy them and they cannot do it because they entered into a what? Covenant. A league. A compromise. How many of us know there's some things right now we should be getting rid of and destroying?
Yes.
We can't do it. We can't do it for God because we've entered into a compromise. How many families are divided right now because of a compromise? You know I know what God wants, but we can't do it because of you made a compromise. And now if we do it, our situation is going to be worse than it had not had it been if we would have made a stand for God. Make you a stand for God. God said, if I be for you, who can be against you? God said, if I'm fighting a battle, no matter what seems like it's coming against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. And you're doing it my way. He said, so get rid of the compromise. Hallelujah. You can't change yesterday, glory to God, but you can change right now. The spirit of compromise will keep us all wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the lie. It won't let us acknowledge God. It will not permit us to do the right thing because now we are calculating the losses. The Lord told the young man, he said, sell all and do what? Follow me. I don't know what challenges, I don't know what things we're holding on in direct conflict with God, but sell it. Amen. Get yourselves treasures in heaven and follow God. Let's go to the next verse. But all the princes said unto the congregation, we know what God told us to do. We know we're supposed to destroy them. We know we're not supposed to fraternize with the enemy. We know we're not supposed to have part with this. But we made a mistake. We entered into an agreement without a knowledge of God. We know what, how many know what God has told us to do? This is personal. Salvation is not based on someone else. This is your individual salvation. As you assess your salvation right now, hallelujah. Where are you at in God? When God weighs it, when God measures you, where are you at in God? But all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, now therefore we may not touch them. All because they did not what? Acknowledge God. Whenever we make decisions as a child of God without acknowledging God, we compromise. Because we're not making the decision based on who God is and what God has said, but we're making our decision based on, I'm 7 times 3. In a day, they don't even wait that long. They do 6 times 3. I'm grown and I can do what I want to do. Know ye not that you're not your own. We have been brought
with a price.
We've been brought with a price. I don't belong to me. All souls are God. Isn't it important that we try to do what God wants us to do now? Somebody say it's getting worse because you still won't surrender.
Amen.
You're fighting God.
Amen.
You're resisting God. You know what Gamaliel told them when the religious leaders wanted to persecute and destroy the apostles? They said, be careful. Be careful. I know what you want to do. I know the direction you want to go. He said, but stop for a few minutes. I said, take a pause and think about what you're doing. Lest happily you find yourself fighting against God. Let us stand. We all have decisions to make today. There's a direction that every last one of us wants to go, but stop. Acknowledge God. Ask God. Try to discern the mind of God to see what God wants you to do. Lest if you doing what you want to do, you find yourself fighting against God. Well, the inadvertent spirit of compromise will have us fighting against God as the elders and ministers come forward. Can we take a few minutes as we prepare for our altar call? Just say, God, this is one time. I'm a little tired. I'm a little tired of my situation. I'm a little tired of what's going on in my life. At this particular stage, I heard the songwriter say, I surrender. Oh. There's some things, some parts, some ways of me that I've been holding on, God, at this stage of my spiritual journey. I need to surrender. I've had pride that keeps making, allow me to do what I'm doing, but God, when I really look at myself spiritually, I'm nothing more than a willow tree. I'm one step away from turning my back on God because I'm not deeply rooted. I want to stop coming to God. That is the spirit of compromise. Conviction says, Lord, whatever it takes, I must be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to me, I must. How many really want to be saved? Somebody give God a reward. God wants us to do it. Amen. It's time. resisting God. You know, all of us today have decisions to make. Can we make ourselves a personal promise? Before I make that final decision, I'm going to get down on my knees and acknowledge the Lord in all of my ways, and then I'm going to give Him permission to direct my path. That's the only foolproof way not to make mistakes, is I give it to God. And then